We're here in another social marketing hour, and I got a very special guest with us today, somebody that has been very successful in the marketing world. This individual took over the Perpetual Traffic podcast a while ago, and he built a very successful Google Ads agency, happens to be the largest Google Ads agency in the world. So he's a powerful badass in the subject of marketing, and he's here to provide some value to us and the Ninja Marketing Agency audience, and let's see what we can get from him value wise. So Qasim, great to have you on the show today, man. Let's get into it. Tell me.
Yeah, Manuel, thanks for having me, brother. Appreciate you.
Absolutely, man. Tell me a little bit about yourself. I know you got a lot of stuff on your plate and you're working on some big things. I mean, you did mention that you are the co-founder of a mastermind. What's it called again?
The mastermind? The Driven Mastermind.
I mean, I saw on the website you got a very close friend of mine and a client of mine, Jason Flatland, is in it.
Jason's one of the co-founders.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah. He did mention that you guys were doing something. He didn't mention you, but he said he was doing something that to kind of like transition from that earlier mastermind. So that's very exciting stuff for sure.
So yeah, they just sunset War Room. So we're trying to fill in the gap that I think that's going to be left. So I'm excited about it.
Interesting, man. I mean, I don't know how much information you can give me on the War Room and how it ended and stuff like that, but it's I know it had a lot of power, right?
It was one of the longest running marketing masterminds that I know of. I think it might have been the longest running marketing mastermind and the most brilliant people in the world, like truly. Right. You know, I mean, it was Ryan Dice, Roland Fraser, Richard Lindner, Perry Belcher. And all of those guys are just assassins. You know, you want to talk about the movers and shakers of the marketing world. And then everybody that you've ever heard of went through War Room at one point or another. You know, you can't name somebody in the marketing world that didn't pass through War Room or didn't get touched by it or influenced by it. And I think they just all got fat and happy, to be honest with you. I think that they, you know, they decided to hang up their spurs. And so we're trying to step in, and they're big, big, big shoes to fill. I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, but I'm pretty excited about picking up the mantle and seeing what we can do with it. I've never had a higher ROI from anything than I have a mastermind. And I'm not telling you to go join my mastermind because, you know, it's a little expensive driven. It's higher end. But if you're listening to this and you haven't done a mastermind thing, go find the first mastermind that makes you a little uncomfortable. And that means a little uncomfortable in terms of how much you spend and a little uncomfortable in terms of the people that are in the room. I want to be the dumbest, poorest guy in every room that I'm in. And find, you know, if 10 grand a year is just a little too much for you, that's the mastermind you should be in. And if 10 grand doesn't make you bat an eye, if it doesn't scare you, then go spend 20. And if 20, you know, then go spend 30 and get yourself into a position where you're like, because what'll end up happening is if you find a mastermind that's an easy bite for you, you're going to ignore it. But the minute you go plunk down money that I don't want you to spend rent money, nobody should be doing that. But the minute you plunk down money where you're like, gosh, I don't know if I should be doing this, you're going to force ROI. When you pay attention, you're going to show up, you're going to network, you're going to rub elbow. Anyway, I'm jumping on a soapbox, man, but I'm in four masterminds right now, and I've never gotten more ROI out of any piece of personal investment than I have out of masterminds. I just think that they're so, so valuable.
Yeah, 100%. So Qasim, what would you say to somebody like me that I'm like, well, I got 120 plus 150, I got 270 employees, and I do want to connect.
Yeah.
But I don't have any time, right? So how do I find time to be a part of a mastermind? Because I do believe the power of connection. There's nothing like that, right? The way that we can actually keep ourselves growing, because we can always grow faster. We can always get ourselves to the next level. But I don't have availability. Like, I just don't have it. My days just disappear. Just throw in there the fact that I know you're a dad too. I got four children. I got a 17-year marriage, and I got a lot of things on my plate. How do I find somehow the ability to connect with people like you so we can just go to the next level? What would you say to myself?
Well, you don't find it, you make it. So like, you know, when you say I don't have time, this is going to be a stronger objection than I really mean for it to be, Manuel. I'm not trying to throw any shade your way because you're obviously a super bright, super successful guy, but you've got all the minutes in a day that I've got. And now maybe you make more money and you have more employees and you make more impact. And maybe that's how you've chosen to apply your minutes. And that's great, great, great. But I think if you decide like, oh, I really want to prioritize investing in myself or investing in the ability to kind of unplug and reconnect, I can tell you that when you unplug, go to a new location and then surround yourself with other people like you, because here's the truth. How many people on the planet have 200 some odd employees? a fraction of 1%, a fraction of 1%. And you are not in rooms with those people for 364 days of the year. And the one day of the year that you are, it's an accident. So what happens if you just go to your calendar and you say for 2 days a quarter, because that's all a mastermind is 2 days a quarter. For 2 days a quarter, I'm going to make it a point. I'm going to be intentional and I'm going to go put myself in a room with other people like me. And now what's the yield on that? And dude, I think it's exponential because when you, when you're with, you know, like the problems that they solve that, and just the ability to bitch, to be honest with you, just the ability to be in rooms with other people that understand your complaints, to feel like you're not alone. Cause entrepreneurism is lonely. Employing people is lonely, you know, being the buck stop here, that's so lonely. And to lob myself into a room with other people that understand me, where I come from, my language, my struggles, my heartache, like that's unreal. And then when you're in that room, now, you know, I just went through an exit. And so now that I've been through that exit, I know exactly who to call. Hey man, what do you do for taxes? What does cap games really look like? What are the games that I should be playing before the end of the year? You know, no matter what problem you're
Where do I buy a jet? Where do I buy a freaking jet?
Well, I didn't go through that big an exit. I got beans and rice money, man. Well, I don't have private jet money just yet. But that's the other thing too, is I'm in rooms with people that do. And so just being in the room accesses opportunity, man. And I think that you're right. Like, there's no time. How could there possibly be time for an entrepreneur, for a dad? You know what's really funny about that, though? I'm in a mastermind for dads. It's called Front Row Dads.
Front Row Dads.
It's amazing. I'm surrounded by a bunch of men that want to be better fathers, better husbands. I got a Telegram channel. My buddy just hit us up a few days ago saying, hey, my youngest son doesn't like to engage in school. He's not interested. What do we do? You know, and the thing about it is women do a really good job of surrounding themselves with community that allows for questions like that. Men don't. We're doing an event in December at Front Row Dads. It's just a bunch of dudes that want to be better fathers and better husbands. And you think to yourself, would you be a better father and a better husband if you were surrounded? And we only meet two times a year at Front Row Dads. We meet two times a year for 3 days. So it's 6 days a year. And nobody can tell me that they don't have 6 days to just carve out and go talk about, here's how I can be a better, more intentional father. Here's how I can be a better, more intentional husband, and really dive deep. And they bring in some like amazing thought leaders. We've had some folks come to us that you'd actually be, I don't want to name drop and I don't know if I'm allowed to, but you'd be shocked at who they bring into this room to teach us things like emotional intelligence or health and wellness or legacy or financial planning or sex. I mean, they bring in some women that really know what the hell they're talking about and say, hey, if you think you're good at this thing, you're probably not as good as you think you are. And the ROI on that type of education, it's incalculable, like truly incalculable. So
happiness, man, it really can lead to happiness.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Game changer. I love what you said, Qasim. Access is opportunity. It's 100%. I'm on board with that. I actually have, in my marketing facility here, I have a big wall, which I call it the wall of fame, in which power players that I've actually connected with over the years. The reason why I am here today is because I connected with people. 100%. If I take away those connections, I'm not here. Along the way, there's people that opened up doors. Of course, I made decisions to walk through those doors. And sure, with those decisions, they don't happen. But, you know, my first, I have a sort of a formula that I've talked about, which is proximity to power leads to open opportunities, leads to walking through those opportunities, and then you get miracles, right? That's the way it works. So I have a wall that is full of all these people that I have had the pleasure of connecting with over the years. The first one was my father, passed away already, but proximity of power is not really about money, right? It's just about that person that has a desire to produce a big impact and that puts the energy behind. It's not really just somebody satisfied with where they've come, but they want to do more. They want to grow more and they want to impact at a higher level. That's power. People have asked me, what does power mean? Bank account size? Not really. It's not really about that, right? It's, you know, I can see right away that, you know, that you have the same mentality, the same mindset, right? I love that thing. It's that, I think that's why I haven't really been so into masterminds. And I think that, you know, something like what you're doing is extremely valuable. Are you guys going to start doing like twice a year meetups, or what's the
Driven's a little bit different. We're doing
four times a year. Is awesome, man. What you guys have over there is freaking amazing, right? So a lot of power in that room. So what are you guys going to be doing with that?
For Driven, we meet once a week virtually for an hour, just accountability. Check in, make sure you're doing the damn thing. You can show up, you don't have to. Chopper in and out, because once a week is a big, big, big commitment. But we want people to know that they've got 911 on speed dial. Like, imagine knowing you could show up every Wednesday at 10 a.m. you can jump into a room with a bunch of other really smart people and be like, you guys, I just got this cease and desist from a, you know, whatever. Like, does anybody have any legal help? Does anybody have any IP help? Does anybody have any fulfillment help? So that's just a, it's just an insurance policy. But the real meetings happen once a quarter. We have 4 meetings a year. They're two to three days, depending on how the meetings are structured. And dude, it's just getting together and sharing best practices, bringing in amazing thought leaders, having some experiences, of course. But for Driven, man, it's about making money. Like, there's some amazing, amazing masterminds out there. They're like, you know, growth, connection, contribution. If you want like one of the best masterminds in the world for becoming a better person, go check out Joe Polish's Genius Network. Do you know Joe?
I've heard of Joe through Jason Flatland. He's the one.
Yeah, dude, Joe's the baddest. I love that man with everything inside of him. He's probably he's the baddest dude on the planet. He's such a good human. He's all about growth. He's all about contribution. That's what his mastermind is. So if you want to be like a more fulfilled person, go join Genius Network. You know, if you want to go figure out systems and scale, go join Scalable or Founders Board. But for us at Driven, it's about the misfit millionaires. It's like, if you're one of those people that just can't stop, no matter what you do, you're never satisfied, you're never satiated. Everybody tells you to slow down. Everybody tells you that, you know, like, hey, when is enough enough? We're the people that actually feed your addiction. This isn't a healthy place for you to be. I had that
conversation with my mom just yesterday. All right. Yep. She's like, everything cannot be around work. You gotta pay attention to all these things, and you gotta be able to do this. And I'm concerned about you, my son. I'm concerned. It happens. Bless her heart. She's amazing. She has a birthday coming up. I'm happy to have her on my life, but she just gives me the whole speech. And I'm like, mama, aren't you really happy that I'm happy? Like, right, that I'm enjoying life. Isn't that enough for you? Like, yep, don't you see that I'm enjoying it? Hey, my kids are all happy. Like, we have health in our family. Isn't that enough for you as a mom? Why do you have to tell me that I need to slow down? Can you please explain to me why, when it makes me happy? So it's crazy because we get all that in our lives consistently. It's inevitable, all these people. So yeah, you're describing somebody like me for sure. We need a misfit society. That's what we keep on growing for sure.
The whole world tells you to slow down, man. That's, you know, the name of the Driven Mastermind actually came from a book. Perry Belcher brought it to my attention. I'm trying to remember the guy who named it. It's I'll track that down, but there's a book called Driven, and the author of the book pulls from a biological construct that's actually, it has to do with epigenetics. 10% of the population has what they call the hunter's gene. So 90% of the population has the farmer's gene, which is, hey, I'm here to be satiated. I'm here to be like, you know, okay, I did my work and I can stop and I can slow down and I can rest. And he dives deep, deep, deep into the genetics. Like, this is peer reviewed, university studied, scientific fact. 10% of the population doesn't have the ability to feel complete. Like, we actually were broken. You don't ever feel like you achieved your goal. And that's the hunter gene. You have to be out there hunting. And the only time you feel like you're doing it isn't when you're achieving the goal. It's when you're chasing the goal.
Chasing. So
we named the mastermind Driven because we want to go after the people that are driven. It's called the Driven 10%. And I'm so ashamed that I'm blanking on the author of this book, because that's the one that I should really be pushing right now. You know, especially if I name my mastermind after.
We'll put it on the show notes for sure. People can watch it. I know you're probably going to find it before we're done, or it's going to come back to your
head. There we go. Yeah. Driven by Douglas Brackman, Understanding and Harnessing the Genetic Gifts Shared by Entrepreneurs, Navy SEALs, Pro Athletes, and Maybe You. Really worth checking out.
I'm going to check that out. And that is the fact, right? So here's just in conversation mode with you, something that I went through recently. So I have accomplished ridiculous level of success that 10 years ago, it would have been just hallucination. And it's been incredible, especially somebody like me that I don't have a degree or any evidence that I should be successful. It's incredible.
I love the way that you say that, man. There's no evidence that I should be successful.
No freaking evidence, right?
I'm stealing that from you. That's 100%.
Yeah, the system does not agree with the fact that I've accomplished success. I absolutely tell you. Friends in high school will probably look at me and still wonder, what kind of drug is he trafficking with? That's just the reality, right? And I've done everything legal along the way. I mean, last year I produced $55 million of revenue in my company, right?
That's awesome.
A supplement company that I built from the ground up with my father and my wife. And this company is bootstrapped every step of the way. We broke $50 million in revenue last year. We're going to surpass that this year. Pretty crazy stuff, right? Really, really crazy. But a few weeks ago, Kasim, I was invited by a client of mine and a friend of mine, and it's Monday, and he calls me up and he says, listen, I was just, I'm going on a yacht on Wednesday, and it's, I don't know, a 1 billion foot yacht. And they just told me right now, there's an extra room and I want to bring you, and the wife. And I'm like, okay, cool. What is it? Like, summer next year? He's like, no, on Wednesday, leaving for 5 days.
So funny.
So I'm like, holy shit, man. I don't know if I can do that. I got a calendar full of stuff. And he's like, you don't want to miss out on this. You trust me. You got to drop whatever you're going to drop. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'm going to trust this guy. This guy is very successful too. So I called the wife and I said, we got to go. So then I go, it's an out of this world experience. So my takeaway, like I'm talking about Michelin star chefs, an entire crew of like 10 people taking care of us all day long, going to the Bahamas from island to island, going into the freaking hotel in Nassau. What is it called again? That massive hotel, not Treasure Island.
I haven't been invited. I don't know, but that sounds like a blast.
Dana, you got to tell me which one it is. It's the one that is from that island that is, it's check out Nassau. She's going to find it. Nassau Island Hotel. And when I tell you the name, you're going to be like, oh, that's what it is. But anyways, it was like a dream. The whole thing was like unreal, absolutely unreal. And I was with some people. It was four couples that were in the yacht. So again, me at the level of success, feeling like I'm broke in that yacht was the awakening, right? Like,
that's where you want to be.
I'm like, whoa, what the heck is happening? There was one guy there that manages somewhere in the ballpark of $120 billion in assets.
Yeah.
Massive, massive success. And these people, some of these guys that I got to meet with, they don't even get in front of a camera. You get to see the people that talk. Like you and I talk a lot. You have a podcast, you're successful, you communicate, you tell your journey. So do I. A lot of these guys, most of them don't even talk about that. So my thing was like, whoa, there's always so much more to grow. Like I was like, for a second there, I started feeling like comfortable. And then I'm like, whoa, hungry. So one of the things that happens, which I would imagine in a place like Driven, right? In that mastermind is like, you get to understand how much more there is. So I came back from that 5-day yacht experience and just hungrier than ever. So what happens is that you get more driven as you get to see how much up there is. That it's incredible. It's powerful, man.
That's inspiring to hear, dude. Like exactly what you're saying. You just get around other people. They change your paradigm. They help you think bigger. You know what I mean? I had an experience with a buddy. We were talking about a potential info product with an avatar that was available to us for purchase. And I got so excited about it. I was so excited about it because we were talking about this idea that we had together. And when we were done, I was like, dude, because he kind of lost steam. And I was like, bro, this is a 7-figure deal. And he's like, yeah, I know. That's why I'm not doing it. It wasn't enough for him. And I was just like, are you insane? Like, I've never had 7 figures in one blow at the time. Like, you know, we're going to go do this thing. And then on the other end of it, but for him, the time, effort, energy expenditure, and then maybe most importantly, the opportunity cost. And I've gotten to know this guy a lot better. He's actually pseudo famous in the marketing world. And he does 8- and 9-figure deals. I don't, he does. So when he's turning that down, he's turning it down because he realizes that there's more on the horizon. And I saw that. And it just made me realize that I think small, you know, and I like being around people that think bigger than me because it takes me out of my comfort zone and it helps me think bigger than I'm currently thinking now. So it's helpful, man.
100%. I heard a quote. I don't know if my friend can take credit for this quote, but he's the one that said it to me and I hadn't heard it before. You know how there's this quote we've heard many times before. The biggest enemy of progress is perfection. Mm. So he said, the biggest enemy of progress is not perfection. It's isolation. I love that, man.
Yeah.
I love that. You want to keep on going up, you got to stay connected somehow. Stay connected. Yeah. Access.
You just get trapped in your echo chamber, you know? It's so easy to just sit around sort of patting ourselves on the back for how damn smart and successful we are. But as soon as you lift your head up and look around, it's, you know, it's easy to find folks that are going to push you if you want it.
100%. 100%. So Kasim, so I didn't get to have you introduce yourself. We just went straight into it, which is crazy, right? So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're up to these days? I know, by the way, I was a host in your podcast, not a host, a guest, maybe 2 or 3 months before you stepped in. And
oh, wow.
I believe he was with Ralph Burns, right? Ralph?
Yeah. Ralph, yeah. he's still the primary. I'm the backup. You know, Ralph, he's Conan O'Brien, and I'm the little fat guy that sits on the couch laughing at people's
I love it. Yeah. I've heard a couple of your podcasts. You guys are very educational and entertaining.
I appreciate
entertainment.
That.
For sure, it's good stuff. So I was there a few months before, and I'm talking about Facebook marketing and strategies and stuff like that. Tell us a little bit about what you're up to these days.
Yeah, I own a Google Ads agency. We're the top Google Ads agency in the world. And you might say by whose measure, and I've got a couple of different matrices by which I make that assertion. I'm obsessed with AI-driven media and attribution. I think that attribution is the next trillion-dollar problem. I think whoever solves attribution is going to be so far ahead of the curve. It'll be, it'll create an instant monopoly, actually. It'll be a big, big problem.
You think it would ever get resolved for real?
I do. Yeah. And I actually think the resolution is going to lie somewhere in, and I'm about to use a bunch of words I don't understand. Okay, Manuel. So forgive me for sounding like a jackass, but the way that Web3 and blockchain is headed and the technology that's going to be available to us from, I'm not going to use the word fingerprinting because I understand that ad fingerprinting is a violation of terms of service and nobody wants you to do it, but triangulating a user experience and then tracking that experience over a multivariant timetable and attributing credit back to each individual touch point. As soon as we're distributed, as soon as we're in a Web3 environment, that problem actually solves itself. People think that distributed means less data. That's wrong. It means more. It means more. So when we have a decentralized internet, like our ability to track, it's going to get way more complex. It's going to get way more robust. And I'm not a smart enough person to solve this problem. So what I'm doing is I'm waiting on the sidelines for somebody way smarter than me. And there's a couple of folks that I'm an early stage investor in a couple of SaaS products that I won't do any name dropping here because I'm not trying to pimp anything out just yet because nothing's solved just yet. But there's a couple of folks that I think are on the precipice of really making an impact. And I mean, bro, if you think about it, there are tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars being spent blind. People right. don't know, you know, if you spend, if you're running Google ads right now and running Facebook ads right now, and you sell 10 items today, Google says, I sold 8 of those. And Facebook says, I sold 8 of those. And the terrifying piece is they're both right. But you're not just running Google or Facebook. You're also running Outbrain, Taboola, AdRoll, radio, television, newspaper. You're doing SEO, branding, content, podcasts. So where in this multi-touch world where it takes 500 touch points before somebody's ready to buy. That whole 7 touches before they buy is a 1970s data point from a Harvard Business School study. It's 50-year-old data. It takes 500 touches before somebody's ready to buy, especially on high-ticket items. How is that attributed? And as soon as you crack attribution, you take your spend and you change it from spray and pray to sniper-level strategy. And I mean, I think it's so exciting to see how that's going to work. And then the statecraft that's going into, you know, like Facebook building its high walls, Google building its high walls, Amazon and Apple both pretending they're not getting into the ad space, but they're definitely getting into the ad space. Like it could not be more exciting at this point. And I think the changes we're going to see on the horizon, you're going to see some king makers and you're going to see some king killers too. Major yeah. industries just go up in flames.
For sure. I had a moment in which I realized that Apple couldn't care less about privacy. There's a moment. There was a specific moment, right? That obviously they launched. It's a massive privacy protection campaign. Like they just went heavy trying to convince people and manipulate them and brainwash them. That's what they were doing, trying to show people that they cared about their privacy. Man, what a load of crap, to be honest. And the reason that it became clear to me, the way that it became clear was when I actually updated iOS for 14.6 or 7, something like that. And then the Apple Mail would give you a pop-up.
Yep.
And that pop-up prompted you to say, yes, allow Apple as a first thing.
Yep.
The moment that I saw that, I was like, what a load of crap. And I actually started that. I even did a presentation. And I said, listen, guys, check that out. Do you think that Apple cares about your privacy? Well, if they do care about your privacy, don't you think that if they're forcing all apps to ask app not to track you as a first option, otherwise they're going to shut you out. Right. But they themselves don't apply that same rule to their own platform. Can you please explain to me how they really do give a crap about your privacy?
That's such a good point.
It was a big aha. I'm like, holy shit. So at that moment, I realized that their game is to, they realize that they have enough power, which, by the way, Apple right now, I don't know if you've seen that, cousin, but you have to add, I think that they change right now. The stock market bounced a little bit on Facebook, Google, and Amazon. But at one point, 2 weeks ago, all three companies were smaller than Apple.
Yeah, Apple is worth more than all of them combined.
Whoa. Oh, my God. How the heck did it happen? It's incredible because it feels like overnight. But they have this master plan. And I can envision these guys on the board going over how they're going to brainwash everybody and pretend that they are into privacy, but still they're trying to create this whole thing so they can control the entire relationship, not just the Apple ecosystem, but the entire media in the ecosystem itself, including the email platform. So that for me was a big, okay, good, it's coming. So what you're talking about right now, it's coming. I like how you said Apple and Amazon pretending to not want to be a part of the media world or the ad world, but it's coming in a big way for sure. And I can't wait to see it evolve. I think it's going to present opportunities along the way for all of us that want to take advantage of those opportunities. And I think it's an exciting thing. So Kazim, now going into right now opportunities, like what's happening right now in this environment, what are you working on your agency? What are you working on? What are you talking about the most these days as something that we believe we should be taking advantage of?
Google's Performance Max. Google rolled out a product in November of last year called Performance Max. It's AI-driven marketing. And first of all, nobody knows what AI means, myself included. So we've all ignored it. I've got 200 clients that I run Google Ads for. I've never seen a more effective marketing mechanism ever in my entire life. Now, before you think I'm some Google shill, my book that's about to be published is called You Versus Google. I think if you follow Google's recommended practices, you're going to get screwed. I don't think Google has your best interest at heart. Google wants to maximize the value of their inventory. They don't want you to be successful inside of Google Ads. That said, I've never seen anything more powerful than Performance Max. Performance Max is the very first time that a machine learning mechanism will preemptively and predictively go out and try to find your customer for you and sell your customer that product. It's absolutely insane. And what's nuts about it is how easy it is. Performance Max, you don't write the ads, Google does. You don't define the target, Google does. Get this, you don't decide where the traffic goes, Google does. There's something called final URL expansion. And when you enable it, because you know, I go back to that 500 touch point paradigm. If it takes 500 touches before you sell somebody something, and let's say you're selling blue light blocking glasses, okay? The thing about blue light blocking glasses is nobody's woken up ever and thought to themselves, I need to buy blue light blocking glasses. Mm-hmm. They end up reading an article about eye strain or watching a video about glaucoma, or they end up getting headaches and they Google why. So what Google's doing is it's finding the path to purchase. What were all of the steps from the very, very, very inception of this kernel of an idea that led Manuel to buying blue light blocking glasses? He saw this case study or got this message from a friend or saw this tweet, and then he looked for this thing, and then he saw that, and then he clicked on this. And then, you know, 14 weeks later, he bought blue light blocking glasses. Great. Let me go replicate that. And I know what Manuel looks like demographically and psychographically because Google has 72 million demographic and psychographic profiling factors in every human on the planet. Facebook has 55,000, to put that in perspective. 72 million. Dude, Google is the most prolific thing on the internet. Think about, everybody thinks Google is a search engine. It's such horseshit. Google Analytics is on 99% of all front-facing websites. Think about what that means. Google knows what all the data. Watch. Dude, they know your bank account. They know who's in Narcotics Anonymous. They know who's cheating on their spouse. They know who's about to declare bankruptcy. They know where you live, where you drive, where your kids go to school, whether or not you speed. They know if you have a cold. In April of 2015, Google told a woman she was pregnant before she knew she was pregnant, based solely off of research and communication patterns. That's a public case study. You can Google that. Google the term. Google sold me this. That was seven years ago. Google knows everything you're going to do before you're going to do it. And with Performance Max, Google is using it for the advertiser's benefit. It's insane. It only works for e-commerce and SaaS right now. It's horrible for lead generation because Google has a bad spam traffic problem that they're refusing to acknowledge.
So e-commerce and SaaS, that's a really, really important point, right?
Oh, it's huge. You can make it work for lead gen, but you have to make converting hard. So all of the CRO experts don't understand Performance Max because, you know, they ask for the minimum. But Google, there's a case study out of NYU that says 70 to 80% of Google's traffic is spam traffic. And I'm not talking about bots. I'm talking about click forms. And they're hurdling all, like ClickSees can't stop these folks. They're hurdling all of the safeguards that are in place. And it's unbelievable because it means that all of the display-based traffic we've ever been buying has actually been fraudulent traffic.
Absolutely.
And it's crazy. So what you want to do is you want to make it hard to convert. So instead of 3 form fields, you want 17. And you want to ask for specific questions that only a real prospect would know, but you can't make it so hard to convert that a real prospect won't. So it's this balance of risks. Lead generation is hard. I have some clients in lead generation space that work really well, Performance Max. But for e-commerce and for SaaS, for things with a paywall that a click form couldn't spoof, dude, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything. And what's crazy to me, all the biggest agencies are ignoring it. All of my employees come from my YouTube channel. So I have the best of the best of the best people. People that are actually doing continuing education, trying to figure out, like, I get all the best people from all the other agencies. And then they come, they join my agency, and they tell me what all these other agencies are doing. And so I've got spies, basically, in all these large agencies, because we still get inside of their Slack accounts, and they still have friends that work over there. And these agencies are ignoring Performance Max because they don't like the fact that it doesn't report they don't want it to report, or they don't have control, or it steals from other campaigns. Like, it's a nightmare in so many ways. If you have a well-performing campaign and then you run Performance Max inside of that account, Performance Max will steal from all your well-performing campaigns. And so it will look like all these things that you've spent years building will die in atrophy. And then Performance Max is going to steal all the performance, but it's not going to tell you in every instance where that performance is coming from. So it's a black box. So I can see why people hate it. But the truth is it's the future. What are you going to do? Bury your head in the sand and not use the damn thing? Like, it's unreal.
Wow. So this is basically the most powerful potentially opportunity on the ad world for
in existence. Never seen anything like this.
Google has been the most powerful platform in general for 20 years, but they hadn't quite figured out how to really give that access. So that's why.
That's what's funny is I don't think it's that they didn't figure it out. I think it's that they let Facebook take all the arrows. Look what happened. Facebook said, hey guys, look at everything you can target by. And everybody went like, oh my God, this is insane. And we had congressional hearings and
Facebook. Cambridge Analytica scandal.
God. Yeah, Facebook got nailed for this, the privacy. When you look at what you can target inside of Performance Max, Google very cautiously later said, oh, by the way, we have all the interest-based segmentation that they have and more. I can target by the login URL that you visit. Think about that one. Based off of what they're logging into. It's insane.
It's insane. So while Larry Page was like vacationing and relaxing in somewhere in the Bahamas or an exotic place, yep. Mark Zuckerberg was at Congress getting questioned and basically
they were just biding their time. Here's the thing, especially about the American public, we can only be offended about something one time, right? Like, we all get worked up and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, the entire Western world is like this. It's like, oh, privacy is so important. See, privacy, privacy, privacy. But then we get fatigued. And then now it's like, well, you know, we dealt with privacy. Let's move on to the next woke culture bullshit that we need to go argue with each other about. And Google just waited. They had all of this data, but they were so smart and they left billions on the table for years by not letting people target according to this data until the populace was acclimated to the concept. And Facebook did that. Facebook got in all the trouble, took all the arrows. And here's Google that's 15 times the size. The Google Display Network reaches 90% of all internet users on the planet, 65% of whom are reached on a daily basis. It's the most prolific thing online. For all intents and purposes, it is the internet. And then Google just waited for us to be like, well, it's okay. You can track me. And now they've released all of this. And everybody's sleeping on it. Everybody's sleeping on Performance.
That's the thing. People don't understand the opportunity.
Right.
People haven't been awakened to it. They don't get it yet. So this is, you know, when Facebook became a thing and everybody went all in on Facebook, that's peanuts compared to what this is right now. So it's one of those things that could be maybe for the next year or two, the driving engine to a lot of these companies and a lot of these brands.
Dude, you nailed it. I think I'm 24 months ahead of the curve here. I think that's exactly right. I think it's 2 years before the big brands find out. And once they do, it's too late because it's a data play. It's a data graph. You know, you're trying to figure out who buys blue light blocking glasses. And is it the great big blue light blocking glasses company that figures that out? Or is it the little teeny tiny nimble scrappy drop shipper that all of a sudden ends up with this crazy tenured Performance Max campaign that 2 years later, you can't catch up on no matter what your ad spend is, because money and time are two disparate factors. And with machine learning, you actually need time more than you need money. That's where people make mistake with Performance Max. It's a terrifying campaign type to run. You have to run Performance Max for 6 weeks and you can't touch a thing. Think about being a media buyer. You're a super sharp media buyer. You can't touch, you can't make a single optimization, a single change, or you reset the machine learning. And you're watching this machine bounce back and forth, and it's not always working. So it's you're spending this money and you're like, I'm just sitting here twiddling my thumbs. And then you don't make those micro adjustments you're used to making. You make your changes in 3 week sprints. So the thing about the analogy that I give people is media buying used to be Formula One race car driving, to where you're going 200 miles down the road and you're making micro decisions every second and you're actually driving. You feel the car, you feel the road. Now it's interstellar space travel at the speed of light. You don't get to drive the spaceship, and people don't understand that. So everybody that's tried Performance Max and failed, it's because they were trying to drive the spaceship. You can't drive at the speed of light. Instead, you have to serve the machine and then you have to watch. And there's no magic bullet, obviously, because the other piece of it too is people are like, well, what if your product sucks? What if your value proposition isn't there? What if your competitors are better? What if the pricing is horrible? You know what I mean? Like, there's all these things about your business that can be broken. I love when people tell me, oh, I'm going to go test Google. I'm like, horse shit, you're going to test Google. Google's going to test you. Google is the world's indication of intent. I'm going to take my customer. I'm going to suit them up, put a sword in their hand, throw them the Colosseum and see if they can come out alive. You know, it's like, this is, if somebody says, I want to buy this thing, and you sell this thing, and I put you in front of them and they don't buy, it's not Google, that's you. What didn't you say that they needed to hear? What guarantee don't you have? What pricing is wrong? Did you answer your phone? Did you follow up? You know, there's all these factors about a business that, and it's not just Google, it's digital marketing in general. It's so targeted that if you don't sell the thing, it's not the marketing, it's the messaging, or it's the offer. But people look at it the wrong way. Their paradigm is so, so flawed. They have this click to buy gremlin. They clicked on my ad, why didn't they buy? Well, that's a question I turn around right back. I hope that didn't come across as petulant. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I know that there's multivariant issues here, but.
No, I love it. I love it. I think it's absolute fire, Kasim. And I think it's actually very, very valuable. And it's the mindset that needs to be in place for you to succeed. I mean, we talked about several things that are essential. You got to understand 500 touch points. Historically, in the marketing world, people say 7 times before somebody buys your stuff, right? But if you really want to think, the reason why most people are employees, 9-to-5s, and then there's a few of us that are entrepreneurs because we're more like risk takers and whatever, because we understand that concept of, I'm not giving up after 100 touch points.
Right.
I'm going to keep on going until I get to 500 or until I get to wherever I want to get to, because I have this vision that I know I can get there, and I know it's going to take some time to get there. And most people that try entrepreneurship and fail, the ones that actually try it, because many people don't even try it. The ones that actually do try it and fail, they just didn't get into that level of touch points that they had to get to before they get somebody to convert. So maybe they look at an old marketing saying like, oh, you got to be able to touch people 7 times before you actually get them to convert. And then they touch them 10 times and they're like, oh yeah, I guess I suck at it. My products suck. My services are not wanted. I'm just going to pull the plug. Let me go get a job, right? So that's the reason why we have opportunity, because we understand the journey, right? That's what it takes. When you have a good product, a good service, a good offer, all you got to do is touch people enough until you actually get them to make a decision. That's
exactly right. And dude, sometimes it's just a factor of time. It's just the wrong. When was the last time in your life you clicked on an ad and bought anything? People don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, it takes time. You're building a relationship with people online, and we need to shift the way that we think and just love on them. You know, just give. And then on the other end of that, that's why I'm so obsessed with attribution, because right now it's like, I don't know which one of these gives is really making the impact. The minute we find ourselves with the opportunity to start measuring the impact of each of those individual touches, it's game over. You know, that's a data dream that I just can't wait to play.
And we don't have a solution right now. What is the next best thing right now? Right. So what is something that that we're using, that you're using, that is good?
There's a software. I'm an investor, just FYI. So like, disclaimer is, I'm an investor, but I was a user before I was an investor. There's a product out there called NorthBeam, NorthBeam. NorthBeam. It's the best attribution software I've seen so far.
Highly recommended.
Wildly flawed. It's not perfect. You've used it.
No. So I've been in talks with the NorthBeam staff, and they gave me presentations on it. I was actually looking into the subject. This is for our e-commerce, for my natural slim brand. And I talked to some people. Mallory, I think is her name. That name pop up. Does that ring a bell?
Mallory? I know Austin's the CEO. Austin's my POC.
So you might not know the staff, but anyways, I didn't go with them. And I have been probably regretting that. They came very highly recommended with Ezra Firestone.
Ezra would know they're the best. You don't want an attribution software that's UTM based, because UTM based attribution drops 30% of the data and it's all click based. And the majority of attribution isn't click based, it's view based. So Northbeam has some proprietary tech that helps them extrapolate what a view through conversion might look like or what a view impact might be. And again, it's not perfect, but I've used them for publicly traded companies with 7 and 8 figure monthly ad spends. And they're the closest thing to a good solution that we have so far. And that, by the way, is like, it's a far cry. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to bash them because I'm a big, big fan, but I don't want to overstate what they are. Like, if you think you're going to get a single source of truth, that's absolute bullshit. You're not, but you're going to get much closer than you would without anything. And what you want is you want to triangulate. You want the data that you have from your ad network. So Google Ads, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, whatever. And then you want the data that you get from a third-party analytics solution like Analytics or Wicked Reports. And then you want your attribution software. And that triangulation gives you the opportunity to start to see what might be real and what might not be. And where people are going wrong that I still don't understand is they're not collecting first-party data. You got to get your first part. You have to. And it's not hard. That's the other thing. Every CRM on the planet is already pre-equipped to basically capture all the stuff you need. So if you're doing those things, you're light years ahead of all of your competitors.
100%. So it's not a perfect solution, but it's the best we got right now.
It's the best we got right now. There's another software coming out in March that I'm very close to, and I'm not allowed to use their name just yet. But if you stay tuned to my YouTube channel or just follow me around, or you and I, maybe you'll talk again. When that drops, that's going to be AI driven. And I'm pretty excited about what that might look like.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, looking forward to that. So, my understanding was that if you start to try to use the platforms, Google Ads platform, the Facebook Business Manager, et cetera, it's just going to get confusing because the data is so ridiculously opposite. It's sometimes it's shocking how Facebook gets attribution, which they changed some things. Like they just went back to 28-day attribution. And so they're moving in the direction of trying to give more like a better understanding, because everybody's like going blind right now.
Right.
So would you say that, I don't understand how you triangulate though. How would you actually use Facebook?
Well, why you and I get paid what we get paid. You know what it is, man? You're licking your finger, you're putting it in the air, and you're trying to see which way the wind's blowing. And so Facebook's going to tell you one thing. I can tell you Facebook is underattributed. I'm a Google Ads agency. We don't run Facebook ads at all. I have no dog in this fight. As a matter of fact, it's good for me that people think Facebook sucks. I've got 200 clients, and every single one of them, I'll tell you, Facebook's underattributed. If Facebook's getting a 200% ROAS and Google's getting a 700% ROAS, it probably means that they're both about 400%. And Google's stealing from Facebook because Google's last click, and Google has more data, and Google has the ability to grab. So what you want to do is you want to look at your Facebook data, you want to look at your Google data, you want to look at your third-party data, and then you want to watch the overarching trends. And what you'll notice is if you zoom out, everybody wants to look on a 30-day epoch. I've never understood this. Marketers are obsessed with these 30-day, sometimes they go quarter by quarter. But what you find is, depending on the solution that you're offering, you know, if you're selling hammocks, it's way different than if you're selling SaaS products, which is way different than if you're selling airline tickets. So with hammocks, you might find out, gosh, my Facebook ad spend influences my Google conversions in about 14 days. I have a 14-day time lag. With SaaS, maybe it's 18 months. When I spend money inside of Facebook, 18 months later, my Google conversions pop up. And then with airline tickets, maybe it's 30 days or 40. You know what I mean? It's whatever. You need to zoom out. And the best investment any large enough company can make is a data analyst.
Wow.
Go get one of those, you know, nerdy, nocturnal, overcaffeinated, antisocial engineering types that will just sit there and do this for you and make those comparative analysis. Because all we do is compare 30-day timelines. And that is such a recipe for, I can't tell you how many times somebody's turned off their acquisition. And it's not just Facebook. It's Facebook or programmatic or radio or whatever. They turn it off because they think it's not working. And then 3, 6, 9, 12, 18 months later, our Google ad campaign dies and we can't figure out why. And then you go all the way back and you're like, oh shit, we were being fed by this top of the funnel marketing mechanism. But because the attribution wasn't there, we turned it off. And that was as much our fault as it was the client's.
Wow. That's amazing. Kazem, where do you find a data handler? Like that's something that
India.
You need a total nerd. Like
you need a total nerd. Dude, you know, it's funny. My niece is going to school for this right now. I think it's like one of the top 10 degrees that people are like, a data analyst is Go check out, this is a friend of mine. I'm not an affiliate, but I am a big, big fan. Check out Measurement Marketing, Chris Mercer, Measurement Marketing. He's got a bunch of certified partners. I've worked with Ryan Levander, Ray Vicente. Chris is probably the most important voice in digital marketing, and nobody pays attention to him because measurement is so terrifying. But he's actually producing people that have learned this stuff and can help you. I've got an in-house data analyst. His name's Saptic. He's freaking brilliant. He's basically a triple PhD, but you can find these folks. And to be frank, you can find them offshore for less than you'd expect.
Right.
You know, like you don't have to spend $1 million a minute. And just having somebody who sits there and slices and dices your data, and the magic key that I'll tell everybody is, and your data analyst might not even know this, you have to zoom out. Think about the time it takes for somebody to make a decision. One of my passion projects is Montessori schools. I have an agency that deals with only Montessori because I think every child deserves to go to a Montessori school.
Love Montessori schools. My kids grew up in them.
That didn't surprise me at all. It's entrepreneurs love Montessori schools because they're so counter to the natural narrative. What's interesting about Montessori schools is parents start searching for Montessori schools before they're even pregnant because it's that weird A-type kind of problem-solving entrepreneurial parent. So if you think about that, you've got years ahead. So what does that mean for your top of the funnel traffic strategy as opposed to, I don't know what, supplements? You've got a supplement company, right? Like if my stomach hurts, I'm going to find a supplement and I'm going to get a supplement and I'm probably going to do that in the next 72 hours. Maybe. So there's just this, there's this human condition that we haven't given enough credence to when it comes to what it takes to actually get somebody to make a decision. And that's the thing that needs to be taken into consideration when you actually start looking at your data. So it's not just get a data analyst and throw them at data. It's get a data analyst, but then remind him or her that we're all humans. Take into consideration the sales cycle, the indoctrination that a human would have to go through in order to make whatever decision it is you're trying to get them to make. And that's the zoom out. That's the epoch you want to look at. And invest in the top of the funnel. Everybody wants to the bottom of the funnel because they want to sell. I need to sell right now. I need 400% ROAS to break even. Well, that's not where sales come from. Sales come from the top of the funnel. You know, it's like wanting muscle without nutrition. It's such a flawed approach. And you can get it in the short term, but then you're constantly squeezing blood from a turnip.
Especially in this ecosystem of social media, it's just a perfect top of the funnel world because you value and you build it. My company is built on our top of the funnel. So 100, I do $4 million in revenue a month. I can go down to zero ads and I will still bring in 3.5 or so. And the reason being, like we get a 20-25 ROI. The reason being is because we have built a top of the funnel world. Like I publish somewhere around 3,000 publications a month of our top of the funnel value. So we are not dependent on marketing platforms. We're not depending on advertising platforms, and people don't understand this opportunity. And everybody's obsessed with like 1-3 ROI, 1-3 ROI. I got to get to that number. And the top of the funnel is where the gold mine is at. One of my top clients, his name is Dr. Eric Berg. He's known as the ketogenic diet king. He's like amazing. And, he's going to get close to 9 digits with the top of the funnel in a year.
I love that.
So it's incredible. So this is an opportunity, right? This is one of those things that people need to really understand what social media, the TikToks, the Facebook, the Instagrams, the YouTubes, what they're presenting as an opportunity for us. Anyways, Kasim, you and I can talk for hours and hours, bro. It was an incredible conversation. I feel very enlightened. Great, great stuff. I appreciate it. I got so many takeaways myself. One of those things is that I for sure need to keep on pushing myself and connecting with people like you. And that's what it's all about. And I can't wait to, Jason Flatland is one of my top people in this world. And I know that he's involved and driven. And I'm actually going to message him about it today and see how I can connect with you guys deeper. So if somebody wants to connect with you and learn more about what you got going on, Kasim, what do they do that?
Yeah. So if you want us to run your Google ads, that's what I do for a living. You can go to solate.com. If you're interested in the Driven Mastermind, go to thedrivenmastermind.com. I shoot a YouTube video every single day on Google ads. I give away everything I know. There's no paywall. I don't have a course to sell you. You can go to YouTube and look for Solutions 8. And, you know, for anybody listening to this, I want to just take my hat off to you for just a moment because you could have been watching Cobra Kai on Netflix. You know, like there's a bunch of things you could have been doing that wasn't this. And I know that this maybe got a little bit dense, but I just feel like we're kindred spirits. The fact that you're filling yourself up with good content, good information, you know, subscribing to Manuel, just keep that shit up, because that's what's going to make you super, super successful. So thanks for the time and the opportunity today. I appreciate you.
Amazing stuff, man. I really appreciate it. We're going to have to do this again, cousin. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.